The peace of the Lord Jesus be with all of you, my dear brothers and sisters of our Lord Christ. We have before us in the visitation a brilliant illustration of what it is for us to follow the apostle, outdo one another in showing honor. Today I'm going to preach to you about that honor, about the peculiarity of that honor, the peculiarity and the particularity of God, who says such wondrous things before us as saying, "You trust me and I will honor you," who gives to our simplest and our plainest act of giving water to the thirsty these extremely majestic words, "In doing it to them, you did it to me." The God who so condescends to us that he gives us prayer, in prayer where we can participate with him in his will, in his power, and in his action. He gives it to us as that which we are to do. He even commands us to pray. Outdo one another in honor. There is in honor, then, that particular, peculiar place in which each stands in relation to the other. God, before whom we give praise, before the face of all gods, we give praise to him, for he alone is the God. But he is the God who in his condescension brings honor to us. And it is in that light in him that Paul honors the faithful of the church. As there is a particular, peculiar place in relationship to God and to us all of the Blessed Virgin, so there is with Elizabeth. This is not what we would call philosophically or legally equality. There is no equality except that we are equally honored in the particular that God gives to us. St. Paul honors the church when he starts out Romans 12, exercising apostolic authority by saying, "I appeal to you, I beseech you, I beg you, I urge you." The Greek word is the word for paraclete. And he urges and begs us on the basis of the mercies of God to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. This is what St. Paul called spiritual worship. Or another way that you could say that, this is the logical life of faith. It is the logical service of the believer. Now, in today's reading, St. Paul lists a number of the modes of thinking that are logical, reasonable consequences of the life of faith. He starts out by saying, "Let your love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Treat each other with brotherly affection. Continue in a burning zeal to serve God. Be joyful, be patient in your suffering, be generous in your hospitality, your contribution to the saints, and be rich in your blessings. Do not curse, but bless. Be sympathetic as you participate with those who weep, and as you rejoice with those who rejoice." As we reflect then on the visitation of the Blessed Virgin to her old relative Elizabeth, we focus on one of those exhortations: outdo one another in showing honor. The renewal of our mind, as we are conformed to the shape of our crucified and risen Lord, is learning to think with right and sober judgment according to the grace that God has poured us. It is that ancient prayer of Pentecost: teach us with that same spirit to have right judgment in all things. For this is where honor begins. The God who is honored, who has his peculiar and particular place as our gracious, condescending God, sets us in relationship to each other where we are renewed in thinking first soberly and righteously about us. It is this high, majestic, undivided Trinity who is the God of glory that descended to be the most low. Thus he lifts us to the place where he wants us to be. He takes us in his Son Christ to be at his right hand, his beloved people. He takes us into his beloved Son. Now he is great, the one who sits at table and eats, or the waiter and the cook who bring the food that has been prepared. Obviously, the one who sits at table. Well, I am among you, says this high God, is the one who serves you. From under us, as the cook and the waiter and the food, he picks us up into this seat of joy. From the far country where he has gone to get out, the country of death and sin and condemnation, he carries us back into life and pleasure, into the Father's family where there is feasting, celebration, and joy. For he who was dead is now alive. It is this God who condescends to say to you, to those who trust him, to be our Lord and God, because he pleased to be in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. When he calls to me, I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. For the honor of God for you is that in his Son, he has made you particularly and peculiarly in relation to himself, to the whole church, just the way he wants. With the gift of this prayer and the promise to hear us, God does bestow on us that work to have participation with him, with power and mercy that goes beyond mere creatures. And he says, when you do this simple work, you have done it to me. Now look at the honor that is exchanged between Mary and Elizabeth. For this is a glorious example for us, to encourage us, to give us heart for that apostolic word, outdo one another in showing honor. For Mary, God has set the most highly honored servant in her lowliness. Her body was the carrier of the body of the eternal truth, the Word itself. That Son, Savior of Mary and Elizabeth and of us all, is now the woman who runs with haste to Elizabeth. Mary does not enthrone herself above all others and say, come to worship the God here. She is the God-bearer of the God who comes to us, the one who stoops to raise fallen humanity back into the family, sons and daughters of the Heavenly Father. And so Mary runs off to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth, this old noble woman, is honored. Every woman in this building has given birth to children. But Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist. That was the way God put her in a particular relationship to Christ, to himself, and to us. And she gives blessing and honor to Mary, for Mary's meekness before the Word of God. Blessed is she who believes that what the Word said would be done to her, for trusting in him to do what he was doing. Thus, Mary is not dishonored by placing her in a place that she does not have. She is held in esteem and affection for the place and the work in which God put her. What a startling and a splendid thing it would be among us, when in place of the spirit and mind of the synagogue, which put down other people, or in place of the self-serving spirit that elevates itself for its learning, for its strength, for its wealth, for its faithfulness, or for the clawed spirit that seeks supremacy and control, or for the fawn spirit that flatters? What if these were denied to the company of the living? They were hated. But what was held is the love that is gentle, the good. What is cultivated by that word of faith, the practice in that faith is great to outdo the other one in showing honor, to become and to be, indeed, servants to each other, because we are served by him who honors us with his own grace, to serve each other in genuine love and affection, to come to sober and righteous judgment about ourselves, and to be set in the fellowship with the other brothers and sisters, that we would then, in a kind of square dance introduction, before them, to honor, holding them highly in the position that God has given to them. May God grant us the grace to want this great mind, the courage to walk in this faithful way, the eye to see his glory, and the humility to rejoice in his wondrous way. Peace of the Lord be with all of you.